Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with David Walker, Comptroller General of the United States and head of the Government Accountability Office. And joining us on our conversation is Al Morales.
David, in GAO's Strategic Action Plan for FY04 through 09, I understand there are 8 themes. Can you give us an overview of these 8 themes?
Sure. These themes are themes that represent trends that have no geopolitical boundaries and also cross all different sectors, you know, public sector, private sector, not-for-profit sector. Things like long-term fiscal imbalances, changing security threats in a post-Cold War environment, increasing global interdependence, the changing nature of the economy from the industrial age to a knowledge-based economy, a variety of demographic trends, fewer and fewer workers supporting more and more retirees, longer lifespans, more diverse country, rapidly evolving science and technology, a variety of quality of life issues such as the education, the environment, work family, urban sprawl, and changing governance structures where more and more issues have to be handled on a multilateral basis and between different levels of government and crossing different sectors in order to achieve positive and sustainable outcomes.
Can you tell us about the 4 goals of GAO's Strategic Action Plan?
Well, we have 4 primary goals. The first 2 goals are tied to the Constitution of the United States. You know, there's not a lot of things that people agree on here in Washington, but hopefully one of the things that will stand the test of time is the Constitution of the United States. So the first 2 talk about supporting the Congress and meeting its constitutional responsibilities in areas dealing with areas under the Constitution. The third one talks about us trying to help the federal government transform what it does and how it does business. And the fourth one is about GAO being a model federal agency and world-class professional services organization.
How does GAO plan on measuring performance and progress against these goals?
Well, we have a number of performance metrics, and many of them, in fact, most of them are outcome-based metrics. For example, we have certain ones that can be quantified, like financial benefits. To the extent that institutions, or whether it be agencies or departments, or whether it be the Congress as an institution, if they adopt our recommendations, then does it save money? Does it free up money for redeployment to higher priorities? Last year, $44 billion, $95 return for every dollar invested in GAO. But we also have other non-financial benefits, things like safety, security, privacy. You can't measure in dollar terms, but they're significant, and so we do it in descriptive terms. We look at, you know, pipeline statistics. To what extent are we making recommendations? What percentage of the recommendations are adopted? How frequently are we being asked to testify? Because these are kind of leading indicators, if you will, that can give us a sense as to whether or not we're going to develop. We're going to end up having positive outcomes over a reasonable period of time. So we're very, very results-oriented, and everybody is focused on how can we maximize value and manage risk, how can we minimize resource request and maximize return on investment.
David, I know your interest in human capital dates back probably your entire professional career. So could you tell us about GAO's human capital strategic plan?
Well, first, we're only as good as our people. We're a knowledge-based enterprise. We're a professional services organization. And as I said, we're only as good as our people. So we take our people very, very seriously. We not only have an overall strategic plan, we have a human capital strategic plan. We have very aggressive recruiting efforts. We do a lot with regard to trying to maximize the chance that the people that we hire will stay with us at least 3 years, because history has shown if they stay with us at least 3 years, the likelihood they'll stay with us long-term increases dramatically. We are an empowerment organization. Our employees are very much involved in providing input on all the major issues that we have to deal with as to who we are and how we conduct ourselves as an employer. For example, one of the things that we have is a democratically elected employee advisory council that I meet with and my fellow executive committee members meet with at least once a quarter, typically more frequently, to be able to talk about issues of mutual interest concern and how can we make GAO a better place.
It's always interesting to hear someone like you, a leader like you, talk about dealing with people. It seems so obvious, yet many organizations don't. I'm just curious about your perspective as to why they don't deal with that training tends to be one of the first things that's caught, and people don't pay attention to their most important asset.
lack of enlightenment and myopia. It might be two good reasons, I would say. You know, there are a lot of people, in fact, most everybody will tell you people are our most valuable asset. But, you know, actions speak louder than words. And I think that you need to look at the facts and circumstances and find out whether or not they practice what they preach.
Interesting. Now, GAO has a human capital office, and what I'm always curious about is when you think about human capital and even HR, it was once just a support function, and now people are beginning to think about it more in terms of strategy and managing human capital. How are you making that work at GAO?
Well, first, I believe there are a number of factors that are critically important in connection with any particular transformation effort. You know, people, process, technology, and environment, for example, of which I believe people represent the most important. People are the source of all innovation, all technological enhancement. They're ultimately the ones that make things happen. And so I think you have to put people first. You have to make sure that the human capital function is strategic, that it is well aligned with the overall strategic plan, that they are working in partnership with the major operating entities and units to try to achieve positive results. It's a fundamental philosophical change. And I believe very strongly that it's necessary.
Now, some would say, and you might call them cynics, that, gee, you can't do a lot around human capital and government. We're constrained by pay. We're constrained by conditions. We can't offer stock options. I mean, how do you address this sort of criticism?
Well, I think 80% plus of what needs to be done in the human capital area in the federal government can be done without changes in laws. I find many times people end up assuming they can't do something because it's never been done before. Or they've got regulations that they've promulgated where they've shot themselves and therefore need to step back and basically reexamine what they can do. I've done that at GAO. I mean, there are many times when I wanted to have things done, I've asked, why can't we do it? Or stated differently, here's what I want to do. Can we do it? And I've pressed on a number of occasions, show me the law that says we can't do this. Or what type of legislation might we need in order to be able to do this if it makes sense to do it? And I find there's a lot of that. One of the critical missing links I find is everybody now wants to move more towards market-based and performance-oriented compensation arrangements. But what I find is there are very few agencies that have modern, effective, and credible performance management systems, including performance appraisal systems. And if you don't have those, and if they're not linked to the strategic plan, tied to desired outcomes, and if they don't have adequate safeguards to prevent abuse and minimize the chance of discrimination, then you're not going to be able to effectively deliver on a performance-based compensation system. And so everybody's out there saying they want it, but they don't have the infrastructure in place. We have the infrastructure in place. It isn't perfect. It never will be, but it's clearly the best in government.
In an earlier answer, you mentioned the fact that if folks stay with you for 3 years, they'll stay longer. Is there any one or two critical things that have to happen in their first 3 years to make them stay?
Well, most people that we hire today are highly educated. For example, over 90% of the people that we hire for our mission side have master's degrees and some have PhDs, and really from the top schools in the country. So they want to be able to make a difference. They want to be constantly learning. They want to be challenged. That's the real key. And so you need to make sure that you do that. You know, obviously people want to be paid fairly. And, you know, if somebody's primary motivation is compensation, they may not want to come into government, although our people make pretty good money, quite frankly. You can have a very good standard of living by working at GAO and many other government agencies. But if somebody measures success primarily based upon net worth rather than self-worth, then they may not want to come into government.
David, you mentioned in an earlier answer that since you've arrived, 40% of the organization is new. Where do you attract people from to join GAO?
We have very aggressive recruiting programs, in particular at the entry level. We take it just as seriously as any professional services firm does. We have targeted universities where we have executives that are assigned responsibility for those universities to develop relationships with the key faculty, with the dean, with the placement office. We try to end up giving speeches and do other types of activities with the university. We have a internship program, which is critically important to our recruiting effort. We hire 200 to 300 interns a year. That gives them an opportunity for them to look at us and us to look at them. That we have an ability to make timely offers to those interns. We don't have to compete those jobs. If somebody works with us at least 9 weeks, then we can hire them on a non-competitive basis. And so there's a number of things that we've done, not only with regard to how we've recruited, but also from the standpoint of using student loan repayments, being able to review performance every 6 months rather than every year, making compensation adjustments every 6 months rather than every year, having a very aggressive training and development program for the first 2 years that somebody's with us. And when I talk about those six-month reviews and compensation adjustments, those are in the early years. After that, you go on an annual cycle. So we do a lot to hire the best people, treat them well, and give them a lot of opportunity to make a difference.
You've talked about a lot of very interesting programs. What kind of external recognition has GAO gotten?
Quite a bit. Obviously, one of our objectives is to lead by example and be as good or better than anyone else. A couple of examples that I would give off the top is our strategic plan has been widely acclaimed externally. Our performance and accountability reports have won awards every year that we've sought to apply for consideration. For example, the AGA being one. CIO magazine just rated GAO as one of the top 100 information technology organizations in the United States, including the private sector. And so we've got a lot of external recognition. I know that Harvard Business Review is doing a case study on GAO now. In fact, I think IBM is doing a case study on us now, if I'm not mistaken, with regard to our transformation. So quite a bit. There's no doubt that we would be green across the board in executive branch speak if we were part of the executive branch. But our objective is not just to be green. It's to be as good or better than anybody else that we audit and evaluate and to stay that way. And to stay that way, it means continuous improvement. I mean, sometimes it's tougher to stay there than it is to get there.
Maybe we'll change the G to green instead of government. We've heard about the challenges facing our nation. What does the future hold as we address these? We'll ask David Walker of GAO for his insights and advice when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.